Hello and welcome to our program today. In our recent broadcast, we were talking about facing the facts and facing the future. And we're going to use that as a foundation for what we're going to do here is a very in-depth study of the little book of Jude concerning the age in which we are living. And what the Bible tells us to do in that book is to earnestly contend for the faith. It's very important. It doesn't say earnestly contend against the apostasy. That's prophesied. It's coming in. It says we should earnestly contend for the faith. We talked about dealing with the facts and facing the facts and then dealing with them, and we were talking about dealing with apostasy. To deal with something is the particular way in which we behave concerning someone or something with the intention of putting something right. Now, we talk about someone. We're talking about apostates. We're talking about people. When we talk about something, we're talking about the apostasy, and there we're talking about the poison. Now, the Bible is very plain on what we ought to do about that. It says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave. So, a particular way in which we behave, we have instructions, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, apostasy, plain and simple, it says the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We looked in our last program at what God sums it up. Some were teaching false doctrine, etc. The whole list is here. We see one out of all of these is a vessel to honor. Rest were vessels to dishonor, and it gives a list here of the problems that they were facing back there in that church at Ephesus, and we are facing the same day. The Bible speaks expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. How it happens, the Bible says, while men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And so the picture is, while men slept, those men could be fathers, those men could be pastors. While they're sleeping, the enemy comes in. Now, he doesn't go out and throw the seed in the field. What he does is, while we're sleeping, he throws the tares in with the wheat and then goes on his way and laughing while we wake up, half awake, half asleep, sowing the tares along with the wheat ourselves. And so what we need to do is given very seriously detailed instructions on how to earnestly contend for the faith. What we need to do is fulfill our purpose for being in this world in an age of apostasy. Our purpose is the reason we were created or for which we exist. We weren't put in this world to get a bigger house and a nicer car and put all that fancy stuff together. There's nothing wrong with that if the Lord is in it. However, that is not our purpose for being here. Our purpose for being here is much more important than getting all this materialistic stuff. And so we begin in the little book of Jude in chapter 1, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now it says here, we are sanctified. That means to be set apart for a purpose. Book of Jude is written to the beloved. That's all Christians. We are set apart for a purpose. We are preserved if we're going to be kept from this apostasy. We're going to be kept by the power of God, the Bible says, and we are called and we are told that we should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. That word vocation is the same Greek word as called here. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called. Now he says what's going to have to happen here in this age of apostasy if we're willing to do what the Lord says. He says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Mercy is a desire to help the undeserving. Quite frankly, that's every one of us on the face of the earth. It can get very annoying for those who want to do right to watch people walking away from God, especially those in a position of leadership. Well, we need to have mercy. We need to have the desire to help those who don't deserve help. And through it all, we need to have peace that passes understanding. And the Bible is plain about that. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." It's a byproduct. You can't have it any other way. Just keep your mind stayed on the Lord and trust in him. And then love be multiplied. Jude's letter was a love letter. Love is more than just having a warm and fuzzy feeling about something. Here he's exposing filthy dreamers. He's exposing the way of Cain. He exposes the error of Balaam, exposing the gainsaying of Korah, exposing the spots in your feast of love, exposing the murmurers and the complainers, exposing those who are walking after their own lusts, exposing those who have great swelling words taking advantage of the people, exposing the mockers at the end of the age, and exposing them that are sensual, not having the Spirit. That's love. Love is genuine love, protects those who are in danger. And for the pastor, that's your people in your church. And for the parent, that is the young people in your home. Genuine love protects those who are in danger, and it protects what is in danger, which is the cause of Jesus Christ, even the plan of salvation today. So Jude's love letter, we know he had a love for Christ. He calls himself a bondslave in verse 1. A bondslave was someone who by choice turned himself over to the Lord with absolutely no rights whatsoever. He has a love for Christians. He said, "It was needful for me to write." He could have stayed home and worked on his chariot. Yeah, he could have built a bigger rec room down there if he could, that such a thing in those days. He could have got involved in all that materialistic stuff. No, he had found God's purpose, and he had a love for Christ. He had a love for Christians. He said, "It was needful for me to write." And he also had a love for the cause, as we've seen, the cause for which we are all called, that we might earnestly contend for the faith. We are to be speaking the truth in love. That's exactly what Jude was doing, speaking the truth in love. Now the key verse, verse number 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." You didn't understand here. It's very personal. Beloved, that's everyone who is a Christian. We have a purpose in this world. And he said, "I gave all diligence to write unto you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now what he does, first of all, right at the beginning, is he focuses on what he calls the common salvation. Very important to understand here, there's no but. The word but is in the Bible thousands of times and is used when you change the subject. And so there's no change of subject here. What we have here that he's talking about is the common salvation. That word common has been translated defiled in Mark 7 and 2. It has been translated unclean 3 times in Romans 14, 14. And it has been translated an unholy thing in Hebrews 10 and verse number 28. And so when he said, "I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," he said, "I've got to talk to you about this defiled, this unclean, this unholy plan of salvation that was infiltrating at that time." We have the same problem today. The Bible is very plain. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish." We said before, Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson, who call themselves fundamentalists, introduced their damnable heresy that says you don't have to repent. Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. You can't get a crowd if you have to ask them to repent. No, just tell them they have to just believe. Well, the devil believes and trembles, the Bible says. No, we have a defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that says you do not need to repent. And this is what Jude is writing about. He said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of this common, defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation. Paul the Apostle had the same problem in Galatians. We read here, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. You change what Jesus said, you're perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, or you can say, though we are a fundamental independent Baptist preacher, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Because we're slow to catch on, he said it again. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That word accursed is anathema. It doesn't mean sent to hell. Strong's writes about it. It means to be exposed. It means in the Old Testament time there, they posted upon the walls or the columns of the temple or in some other conspicuous place when someone was going against the doctrine, they exposed them. It was a type of what we call local church discipline in this age in which we are living. Peter faced the same problem, not just Jude, not just Paul, also Peter. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So, denying the Lord that bought them. That word's been translated redeemed three times. We see here Jude 1 and 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence. All diligence is the greatest possible amount of diligence to write unto you of the defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Once again, it's not talking about contending against the apostasy, it's talking about contending for the faith. He said, I gave all diligence. That word has been translated haste on two occasions. And he said, you need to contend for the faith. To contend to is to assert something with conviction as a position in an argument. It says they crept in unawares. Now this phrase, certain men, is in the Bible seven times. And they crept in. I call them Bible creeps. They moved slowly and at a steady pace. They moved in unaware. To be unaware is to have no knowledge of a situation or a fact. How does that happen? Very simply, let's just keep our church services, let's stick on the positive, let's not get on to anything that is negative. And that's why they have no knowledge of the situation or facts concerning what is going on around them. And you can rest assured, if you do that in your home, you're going to lose your family to the devil. If you do that as a pastor, you're going to lose your church people, your young people. You're going to lose them to the devil. Why? Because they have no knowledge of a situation or a fact, and it is our responsibility not just to preach the smooth things, but to preach what we need to preach to earnestly contend for the faith. Verse 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to, or the word to has been translated unto 270 times. They have been ordained unto this condemnation. They were ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says they were ordained. Strong says that is designated beforehand in the Old Testament. We are told all about them. We are without excuse. The condemnation, that word has been translated judgment 13 times. They were ordained to be judged, not to come in and present this ungodly plan of salvation. Now, it says ungodly men were doing this, and this is important. The word un, U-N, denotes the absence of something, and that is they are absent of the Lord. There's two different types of promoters of apostasy in the scriptures. Jude is talking about the unsaved promoter of apostasy, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever, he said in verse 13. Peter was talking about those who are Christians promoting apostasy. There shall be false teachers among you, even denying the Lord that bought them, as we said, that has been translated redeemed three times. We'll pick it up here in our next program. Be sure and be with us as we look at what the Bible says about earnestly contending for the faith.